Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
We wanted to bring you guys a little closer today. We have a special speaker, Cesar Ochoa, okay? Yeah. And some of you have already heard him in the past. We had the privilege of having him lead our men's group this weekend. And I must admit that a lot of us received some very good things through him. I also want to lift up Terry Harden. He was a part of that. And thank you, Terry, for your message. And it is amazing, you know, the message that Cesar brought, and you'll see a little bit more of it, I'm sure. But when Terry brought his, it's like if they would have talked with each other and coordinated with each other as to what they were going to talk about. It is just amazing how God knows what we need to hear for that moment. And so not only thank you to Cesar and Terry, but thank you, Lord, that you have the exact message for all the guys that were there this weekend. And he's not done with you yet. This morning, we're going to have some more beautiful words, I'm sure. And as always, with when we have guest speakers, we always say that if you God leads you to give a love offering to this person, whoever that speaker may be, and we're doing that with Caesar right now. You can see his name up there. And so we don't want you, if you do decide to write a check or something, we don't want you to write it out to the church. We want you to write it out directly to Cesar. And put it in the back box and he will get it. But that's we like to bring that up for all speakers that come through here, you know, for wherever they come from. So anyway, I know you're going to enjoy this morning. The Holy Spirit truly moves through this gentleman that you're going to be listening to. And so we've gotten to have him speak to us in the past, and I'm sure today his message is just for this moment. And so be ready for some good stuff. So if you would all stand with me, please. We'll pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the way that you watch over your kids, Lord. Lord, you know exactly what we need for the moment. And so, Lord, we just come this morning, and we want to come not only with open hearts, Lord, but open ears. We want to hear what you have to say, Lord. And Lord, we just declare that we choose to not let this little pea brain that we have up here interfere with what you want to speak to our hearts. Open the eyes and the ears of our hearts this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us where we are, Lord. You always take us somewhere even closer to you, Lord. You love us just where we are, but you don't leave us there, Lord. And thank you for that. We praise you. We love you. And Lord, we come to you now with worship and praise. Bless the music, Lord, as it comes to you, to the foot of your throne, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Enjoy the worship.
Man, I don't know about you, but it's like, I'm excited. It makes me want to just like, I could just run. Like, woo! Thank you, God. See, we can get excited for the things God's done in our life. See, there's songs like My Jesus, even that first song. Woo! Let my Jesus change your life. See, that's the thing. God's living. He's working all of the time. If I can talk through it. But see, he's worthy of the praise more than worthy of all our praise. Every step, every single thing we do, he's got you. He's got you. See, that's the thing. He's made us more than conquerors. That means every little thing, every situation, you know going in, I'm already a conqueror. I've already got it because I got you, God. See, the promises are real. They're not just something that are to just be read and forgotten. See, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it's because as you're pressing in after God, it doesn't matter if you want to say, me as a person, I can't memorize that whole Bible. It's okay. Because when it's needed, he's going to call it forth. And you're going to realize that your heart is pulling forth things, right? See, God's got you through it all. He knows what you need. He knows exactly what's coming. He's already prepped you for it, regardless of whether you think so or not. So every time something comes forth, we should be looking at the victory that's coming ahead of us. It should be about the praise, right? Sometimes when we go through things, I don't know who this is for, but I can feel it and it makes me want to cry. I don't know what you're going through or what's happening, but praise through these moments can be so important and so vital. Not only is it communion, right? Spending the time one-on-one with God, but there's something that happens when you don't, when you spend that time in worship. See, I have known this song and sang this song since I was little. And my dad even talked about it the other day. And what I loved about it is that this is the song that when I get in the shower, I'm automatically like, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me. See, that's the thing. It's a powerful thing. I don't care how old this song gets. It's powerful because thinking about the things that God's done for you, it is powerful in your life. Knowing that he picked you up, he turned you around, he made things great when maybe they weren't supposed to be the greatest. And it's not going to stop at any one moment. Woo, it just keeps coming. See, that's the thing. You keep pressing and he'll keep bringing. It's a constant in your life. And even when you're choosing to turn the other direction, he's going to press on towards you because you are important to him. Realize how important you are to him. He left the 99 for the one, right? Because he cares individually. He cares for each of us, where we're at, what's happening, and what's going on in our life. And he's constantly pouring him. He's got more for us. All the time. So praising when we're down, you know that peace that passes all understanding, that joy unspeakable that you get, it's because when you allow his presence to take over, you'll begin to see some things happen in your life. I did these shirts for the men's thing this weekend. And I knew what the title was, but it took a lot of, I don't know. I wanted to be real complicated with it at first because it's AI, right? Yeah. But that's the thing. See, we got a world who's moving full force into technology, all the great things that are going to come and happen. And that's awesome because God's giving those things to people, right? But there's one thing that will never go outdated, and it's going after him and his word. See, this week I had this thing pop up that said that the most published and read book ever is the Bible. See, it doesn't matter how much AI and everything else comes into the world. The one-on-one, that you're getting from him is more important than any technology that can be updated, put into a system to give you all the answers. The communion with him and what he's giving you is always going to be first and foremost. It should, because it doesn't matter what you go through. It doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter how it's happening. It doesn't matter how it looks to you. He's got it in his hands. He'll give you everything that you need. So even if you feel down this morning, shout it out. Shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, because I know what you've done is good and what you're continuing to do is good. It's in my favor. See, when we say all things work together for good to those who love Christ, it's not just a let me pick and choose which ones or which moments. It's all working together for good. How, regardless of how bad you think it is or how low down you feel you are or whatever it might be, he is working together for good no matter what. No matter what.
Praise God. We're a little confusion up here. Hey, Cesar, come on up, brother. Yeah. Yeah. That was the last song, right? I'm a little woozy from last night, from yesterday, from the weekend. Come on, Cesar, huh? Come on up. Hey.
Stop that.
For those of you that don't know him, this is Cesar Ochoa. Everybody say Cesar.
Cesar.
Say it again, Cesar.
Cesar.
It's got a nice name, Ochoa.
Ochoa.
Say it one more time, Ochoa. Hey, who came to visit your church today?
Cesar Ochoa.
Come on, man. Did you say it right?
I heard that.
Cesar Ochoa. Hey, I just want to introduce Cesar Ochoa, man. Hey, listen to what he's got to say. He's got some great things. He really nailed us his last couple of nights, man. So, praise God. Like Pastor John said earlier, we want to send him happy, send him home happy.
Yes.
I am happy. I'm already happy.
Happier. Happier. that he was in the Sarita House of Worship.
Yes.
For this day. We're privileged to have this man
yes.
speaking to us, and I thank you, Sasha.
Thank you. Praise my
God.
Honor.
Praise God. Do well.
I love you, man.
Yeah.
Orale. I have a better, I would say better. Cesar Ochoa is fine. But I want you to yell, Yeshua!
Yeshua!
HaMashiach!
HaMashiach.
Boy, that was, let's try this again.
Okay.
Yeshua!
Yeshua!
HaMashiach!
HaMashiach!
The Redeemer, right?
Yeah.
Let that be a name that never loses, never skips your mind, never. Listen, I'm telling you, when I think about the Lord, and Micha was singing, the most amazing thing, whether you're taking a shower or whatever, you know, I made a comment over the weekend, and I said, be ever mindful of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life.
Yes. Yes.
I'm mentoring several young men right now. They're all in their 20s. And one of the biggest things that I push, be ever mindful of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because when you begin to understand that you are hosting the presence of God inside your body, in your life, listen, it'll cause you to think twice before you go out and do something stupid. Come on, man. Look, don't be religious. It'll remind you not to go out and do something stupid. Come on, give me that. But if you're not mindful of him, you're going to do what gratifies the flesh.
Right. Tell him.
Because I love my flesh. And because of that, I have learned over the years is that what we do when we go somewhere, we go to the store, to the market, you know, wherever we go, We do everything that has to do what I need to do, always thinking about my schedule, the family's coming, so I got to buy these kinds of groceries. And so we do all kinds of things in our lives and never keeping in mind that the Holy Spirit is present with you. And here I'm going to give you a reason why I'm asking you to be ever conscientious and ever mindful of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because at any given moment, he may say to you, go speak to that woman over there. She's hurting. She followed me at one time. And she's walked away. And I have to trust you that I can speak to you. And you're going to obey me. And you're going to go there. And you're going to pour your love in that woman. And that will never happen unless you're actually mindful of the presence of the Holy Spirit, because your life is caught up in that grocery list. I have traveled, and I mentioned it, to many places around the world. And I have found that in many places, listen, because we're not mindful of the presence of the Holy Spirit, we can have an hermanita, párate, por favor, hermanita, para, you know, we may have an hermanita, we may have a church of 1,000, ours is about 400, maybe 500, or a church, whatever. And we have an hermanita on this side, and then we have an hermanita, stand up. And here's what happens in most churches, in a lot of churches. You stand there, you come, and you worship the Lord, and you sing, but you can't stand that woman over there. And then you say, well, I, you know, we usually don't dislike people till we find out they don't like us. And so she says, well, in that case, well, I don't like her either. Look at me. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to make a statement. That exists in the body of Christ. Yeah. And it must not be. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the good guy and the bad guy. Thank you. Tell him. True story. I was in Romania, and they took us to a gypsy village. All gypsies. Gypsies do not like Romanians, and Romanians don't like gypsies. Huge divide. The Lord spoke to me one morning in the hotel, and then I told my interpreter, we need to take, and Gloria was me, my wife was with me, the team of people that I was mentoring, they went with me, and there was about 14 of us, and the Lord spoke to me, and he says, I want you to go to the, have them take you to the gypsy village. But I said, which one? Just tell your man, your interpreter, what I said. So we went that night. If they worked it out, and I already knew that Romanians and gypsies don't get along. I already knew that they don't even talk to each other, much less anything else, whether or not they all call and they consider themselves Christians. This is not my message. I'm just getting into it. I'm just, orale. Priming the pump.
Yes.
All right. And so I stood there and I hear me out. This is so true. This is so real. As I stood there, and it was packed, and we couldn't stand. There was no sitting because they had to take the chairs out because the whole village came. Most of them had never heard of Yeshua or Jesus. But all they knew is these Americanos were coming, and they came to proclaim this message, religious message, and they were, our curiosity brought them all in. And when I stood there, you know, I had to, excuse me, and we began to worship. The worship was amazing. And I began to shout, Lord, we love you. I began to worship the Lord in the spirit. I began to worship the Lord in my prayer language. I began to give him my all. And then when it was over, they called me up. I had to work myself through the crowd to get to the platform. And my interpreter was talking to someone. I came to the platform, and he comes to me and he says, we didn't know you knew Romanian. I said, I don't. I speak Spanish, which is a Latin-based language, but no. He says, you were worshiping God in perfect Romanian. And the gypsies saw that. They heard that. I don't speak Romanian. I don't speak gypsy. Español, maybe, inglés, un poquito de italiano, no capricho italiano, a little bit Vietnamese. I knew how to order a beer. I knew how to ask for the bathroom in Vietnamese, but that's all I know, man. But Romanian, much less worship God. When they saw that the gypsies, when they saw that I was worshiping God in Romanian, it convicted the hearts. If God could be worshiped in Romanian, what issues do I have with those that can worship God perfectly? That night, it was a night of reconciliation. This illustration that I gave of you standing up, you're worshiping God, but you can't stand each other. It came to an end. And today, this was about 19, maybe 20 years ago. And today, because I'm in touch with all the missionaries there, that church now is combined with gypsies and Romanians together. We must always stay mindful of the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Or otherwise, you just let your flesh rule and do whatever it wants. Because we all have an opinion. We have a cultural background. And our cultural background sometimes speak louder than what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. And I say to that, stop. I was in Embu, Africa, which is the country of Kenya. True story. I always say true story, like I'm going to stand up here and lie to you. But anyway, I was preaching with an interpreter, Josiah. Wonderful man. Love God. Africano. And in the middle of my message, just like what I'm doing right now, exhorting the people to love one another, yada, 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 you know, all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me, and I opened my eyes, and I saw this man, and I said, are you a pastor? Oh, yeah, brother, I'm pastor. Oh, yeah, brother, I'm pastor. I said, you in trouble. And he just looked at me, and I said, I'll be back. And I always, if you haven't noticed, I like to walk around when I preach. So I'm walking around and I go to another black pastor and I said, hey, you pastor? He goes, yeah, brother, I'm pastor. I said, come with me. Oh, no. I said, come with me. I did. I'm telling you. I grabbed him from the wrist and I pulled him out of his chair.
Oh, wow.
And I brought him over here with this other pastor. Here's what the Lord's telling me. Be ever mindful of the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the only way you're going to obey him, hear him, and do what he's telling you to do. In this case, I sat him down, and I looked at both of them. He says, you've been fighting because you belong to a different religion, a different tribe, and here you are together in the same church, and you can't stand each other. I said, you need to repent. Wow. True story. As I stand here before the Lord, just true story. Okay. I know these are like, wow, that's a great, I'm telling you. And so I looked at my interpreter and I told him, bring me a basin, a pitcher of water, and some towels. He goes, are you sure? Do I have to get another interpreter? So in a little while I'm talking and they bring all this stuff and I sent him here and I said, you take off your shoes. Oh, no, brother. It's not in our custom, in our culture. I said, felt like sleep. Anyway, take off his shoes. Let me show you how it's done. I got on my knees and I took off his shoes. And he wasn't wearing socks. And I think that's what, you know, he was. And I said, don't worry about that. Now take off his shoes like I took yours off. And they looked at each other and he slides off and he takes off this pastor's shoes. And I told Josiah, you know what to do. You know what I'm doing. You know what's happening. And I said, do it. The other pastor team wanted him touching his feet. It was awkward for me. Like, oh, man, this is going south very fast. Lord, either I hurt you right, or I'm going to make a fool of myself and upset a lot of people here because I'm under flesh. Did you hear what I said? Because I'm in the flesh. The guy got it. He starts washing his feet. Takes his socks off. Pours water. Massages his feet. Takes the other foot. And this guy that's sitting there starts bawling loud. And then so this guy that's kneeling, he starts bawling loud. And I said, sit down. Your turn. More chilladera. Yori, yori. I mean, yeah, you know. I thought, oh, this is good. I loved it. They couldn't stand each other. But yet they came to the same place. I talked about this at the camp, at the meeting, yesterday, I think, or maybe Friday. But they begin to worship together, and they hugged each other. And I looked at the music person. I said, quickly, give me some rock and roll, man, or something. And the guy came with a piano and a djembe, whatever, and they began to play while they were crying and praying. Because I didn't want anybody else to hear what they were saying to each other. That's their private moment before the Lord. But this is common in the body of Christ. It may be common, it may be something that's happening in this fellowship, in this congregation. And it grieves the Father. I was telling somebody this morning, I was talking, we're back there, and I said, what we need to learn to do is understand the scripture that when it says that iron sharpens iron, so a man will sharpen another man. Yeah. You know what that means? You got to rub. You got to sit next to each other.
Come on.
In the spirit, baby.
Hey, bro.
Sorry.
That's what that means. You got to sit next to people you don't really care for. Yeah. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Why are we so afraid to sit next to each other? Because I don't know you. Well, why don't you? You come to the same church. You come to be in the presence of God, but I don't want to sit too close. I want my space. Oh, that's going to be billions in heaven, baby. I'm going to tell you what. So you better get used to it. What am I saying? Where am I going with this? It's real simple. There's a beautiful scripture out of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. And the Lord is telling the people who were in disobedience for a season, and then they're asking God, what did we do? Because everything they thought they did was okay with the Lord. So I'm okay, he's okay. And so don't bother me. Don't get on my case the way I am, the way I act, the way my personality. That's just who I am. Well, die then. Hey, Evan. What's up? Oh. Die. You're too much into yourself. You're all about you. Well, you're not going to succeed. You're going to succeed. I know for a fact you're going to succeed. And you're going to lead people into righteousness. Yeah. Because the Lord is building you up. Stand up for a moment. I know you're embarrassed, but that's okay. Get over it. Stay there. When the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you, we must learn to be obedient and speak out what he is saying. Why? Because people's lives depend on it. People's dreams that God gave them has got to be encouraged that thing that he spoke to you, it's in process. God is working behind the scenes for you.
Yes.
And the desires of your heart to be a man of God.
Amen.
No matter what any of these people say, even your friends,
tell them.
You will rise up in your home above it all. Because that's what God is doing with you. and he's going to finish the work. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Somebody know what that says? This is a confidence. Listen, he who started a good work in you, Evan, he, the one, Yeshua, is going to complete it out to the day when Jesus returns. This time. Hi.
Hi.
What's your name?
I'm Adeline.
Adeline. You love the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
You love the Lord? Will you stand? The challenges that are going to be coming. Stand up. Parate, hombre. Chihuahua. Stay standing. Can you come with me? Can you come with me? I'm going to show you something, what happens when you stay obedient to the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Right now, I have no confidence telling you. And if you think I'm being pompous and all that, that's okay. Get over it. I am confident that I'm hearing the voice of the Lord, and I'm doing what he told me to do. And when he asked me to tell you and to ask Pastor Henry to get rid of those ends of the seats and bring you guys together, that was the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's going to teach you something today that you don't need those seats, and people start filling them up. Amen. That's my opinion. I believe the Lord. Come with me. Adeline?
Adeline.
Adeline? Nah, tomatoes, tomatoes. Adeline, Adeline. Okay, you stand over here. What's your name?
Lorelai.
Huh?
Lorelai.
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 Get anything? Pick and choose. Listen, Holy Spirit is active right now. I know because I'm right in the middle of it. I know that because I know what I spoke to Evan was the Lord. I know it was for a fact it was God speaking to him, and that what God started in him, God's going to bring it to completion, and he is going to fulfill the greatest things that you see, where he will lead groups of people and maybe even travel, and you will take teams. Maybe Nicaragua, I don't know. I've been there. Anyway, but you're going to do that, I promise you. But you have to cooperate with God. You have to pursue that which the dream he's giving you, to bring people to a place of honor before the Master. Talk to them. Talk to them. You better make sure it's the Holy Spirit. Yeah, it has to be the Holy Spirit, because what you say is going to influence. How old are you?
12.
Híjole. How old are you?
12.
Well, why are you so tall? You're knocking up anyway. Everybody's tall to me, right? Talk to them. And when you're done, you can sit, but I'm going to continue preaching. Micha, chapter 6, verse 8. Anybody know what it says? Listen, he told you, and I'm telling you again, what he wants you to do. This is it. This is what he wants you to do. Be fair. Be just. Be merciful. And walk humbly before the Lord.
Amen.
I told a young person yesterday, good-looking kid, and I told him, you're a good-looking kid, man. And when I walked away from him, when he said, okay, you know, and whatever, and I shook his hand, I think, maybe it didn't. But when I walked away from him, I asked the Lord, this young person knows he's got what it takes to be able to lead people into an influence that they'll follow him. He's tall, he's good looking. Father, bring him to that point that where he drops to his knees and cause him to be humble. Yeah. People that will follow him, he can follow them to destruction, or he can follow them. He can lead them into destruction, or he can lead them into purity and righteousness.
Yes.
That's what I prayed when I left this precious young man. This is what the Lord wants from you. This is what he's asking. It's amazing. And he's talking to a people that are in rebellion. You know? And yet he tells them, this is what I want you to do. He is speaking to the church today. Just last week, the examples I just gave you, just last week in the modern-day churches here in Sierra Vista. I spoke to my son, who's a pastor, and I was talking to him last night because something happened in our family, and he called me, you know, to see if I was okay. And he said, "Dad, I need you to pray for me." And he gave me a situation. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, that's the message. Husbands are coming against wives, wives against husbands. They say words to each other. Can I share something with you today? Listen to me. This is really good. And when I'm done saying it, I want you to turn to somebody and say, "Man, that was really good." Don't do and don't say anything today that you will regret tomorrow or 10 years from now.
Amen.
Was that good?
That's good.
Well, then tell each other that was good. Don't do or say anything today to your spouse, to your children, to your neighbor, to the people at work that you will regret tomorrow or that will haunt you 10 years from now. And for so good reason, the Lord is speaking to Judah and he's telling them, this is what I want you to do. Be fair. Let me share. I'm going to tell you one more thing. A scripture that I shared yesterday afternoon. Y'all incredible Bible scholars. I know you know the scripture. And it's out of John chapter 14, verse 15. Very popular scripture, at least for me. Everybody know?
Huh?
Come on, man. I knew the Lord gave you a good word yesterday for a good reason. I know. He did, right? Okay, la. Anyway. I don't have my glasses. I didn't see it. who did that? I know. Well, you still had a good word given to you yesterday by the Lord. Anyway. Obey the Lord and when he gives you a command. You know, that's not the only time Yeshua says that. He says that again in chapter 16. He says, if you do what I tell you, my Father and I will make our home in you.
Yeah. Amen.
If Yeshua says, get along with each other, walk in unity, you know, you better obey the words of Yeshua.
That's right.
Amen. Act justly. Be fair. You know, Micah's audience, they could have very well understood. Listen, they had a sense of right and wrong. In particular, listen, Jesus talked about this. Yeshua mentioned it in their judicial courts. And they had a responsibility to provide equality, equity, and protection to the innocent in particular. Injustice was a problem in the land of Israel at that time, folks. You don't believe me? I want you to write down, if you're taking notes, Micah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Read it on your own. I don't have the time to get into it. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. One more. In Micah chapter 6, verse 11. Injustice was a problem in the land of Israel. Today, our Lord is asking us to engage in honesty and fairness in all our interactions, having a pureness of our motives, pureness, no defilement, no sissy stuff. Pureness, authenticity. An example of pure wisdom could be a person who is consistently speaks without deceit and without ulterior motives. You're authentic. There's nothing artificial about you. You're transparent. Who was it? Somebody was talking to someone. I told him, thank you for your... There you are. How God, I miss you. Even without my glasses, I can see you with your hat on. Anyway, I shared something. I said, thank you for your transparency. You touched my heart, man, because not many of us are willing to do that. Purity, no deceit. James chapter 3, verse 17. But wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's what? Somebody give me a definition for that. What does that look like in everyday life? Somebody? What's he talking about? What's God talking about when he says he's talking about purity? Somebody give me a definition. Don't be shy. We're all family here.
It's purity. It's pure, clean.
Clean?
No.
Clean? What else? No deceit? No ulterior motives? I just gave you the stuff. Can you stand up for a moment? He says, why are you doing this to me? Oh, just stand up. Hey, I'll help you. Come on. Ay, Chihuahua. No. Give me a hug. The Lord loves you so much. He loves your heart. And he wants to mold you further into a greater image of his son. He says, I love you so much. But when you look at people, you look at them with purity. Purity. We lack that in the body of Christ. Why am I doing this? I'm going to say it again, because we lack this in the body of Christ. And we don't even realize that we're not doing the right thing, because we just caught up in life. I think you're amazing. Yeah, imagine that. That's a miracle. You're amazing, and I love you. Right? And so after being, watch this, love, that's the word mercy. It's the word chesed in Hebrew. CH, it's got the, like, you're clearing your throat, chesed. But I'm going to tell you something, both justice and mercy are foundational to God's character. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And if you're taking notes, write down Psalms 89, verse 14. And what the Lord is asking us to do as a body of Christ, his body, he is asking us to be generous in compassion. You know what that means? That means that we are actively looking for means and opportunities, Lord, to alleviate the struggles of other people. When someone said to me, not to me, I happened to be in the room. Speaking of Charlie Kirk, and I've heard this many times, he had it coming. He had it coming. And I looked at him, I didn't say anything. They're not talking to me. They're entitled to an opinion. But then they said as I was walking, hey, Ochoa, what do you think? They shouldn't have asked me. Because in part, only in part, I stood up to him, and big boy, you know, you're a big boy, you know, you're a big man. And I said, what did he do that he deserved to be shot and killed? I mean, it's one thing he got beat up. But to take his life away, you tell me what he did to deserve that, in your opinion, and not what the media is telling you. Not what your profession or your professors in your college are telling you. He could not give me something. And the little things that he did try to kill me, it's because he did not like the opinion of Charlie Kirk. So you take someone's life because you don't like their opinion. Well, how stupid is that?
That's right.
Well, yeah, very stupid.
I said, well, I don't agree with your opinion. I'll be back. Well, I'm going to my office. Hey, what's going on, Ochoa? I'm going to bring my gun. I'm going to shoot him. I went to my office. don't have a gun in my office. That's at home. But an hour later, when I came back, hey, where's that clown, man? Oh, he left right away. Oh, yeah. He had an opinion, but it's okay that he give you guys an opinion, and he can get away with it, but not Charlie Kirk. You know what hurt me? He's a brother in Christ in church. But he's going to the state university where his professors are telling him, and he's influenced. At what time and at what point do you start having your own convictions without someone else's muddling your pond? Those of you that are married, please stand. Even if your spouse is not here, it's okay. Please stand. Everything that I'm doing today, you don't have to believe it. You can say, está loco el vato, you know. You can say whatever you want, you know. The guy's crazy. But I know what the Lord spoke to me this week, and he confirmed it again early this morning. Early this morning. And everyone that is married, I want you to kind of look at each other. Just kind of, yeah, don't stare too hard, because if you're mad, it's going to be obvious. You know, just kind of look at each other a little bit, you know. And listen to me while you're standing with your spouse. Merciful wisdom always demonstrates compassion. And that demonstration of compassion always begins at home.
Right. Amen.
You're going to go out there and you're going to be nice to the people where you work and nice at the marketplace, but you can't even get along and be nice to your spouse who is a jerk to you. Well, I'm going to be a jerk to him. No. No, that's not what 1 Peter says. Let God who judges all things bring that judgment on them. You love them. Are you guys, are you married people, are you following me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Watch out, muy suave, watch out. It demonstrates compassion, and of course, I already mentioned it starts with each other at home. How about forgiveness? You know, sometimes forgiveness is the most difficult thing, but forgiveness is agreeing to live with the stupidity of somebody else's mistake. I agree to live with you. I hate what you did to me. You hurt me, but I'm going to forgive you. But in some instances, sometimes forgiveness is better done from afar. Let them live over there and you live over here. Some people, you can forgive them because forgiveness is not for them. Forgiveness is for you, that you may be whole.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be friends. I don't know what to do, Pastor. Should I divorce her? I caught her doing this and that. Huh? It's your call. What are you asking me for? What do you want? Well, I don't want to lose her. Well, then don't lose her. Go to counseling. Go love on her. But have people minister to you so that you both can get healed.
Amen.
See, that's the key.
Yeah.
But you have to start somewhere. You know where you start? By making a choice.
Yes.
I choose to get healed.
Yes.
And I choose to please the Lord even with my emotions.
Yes.
You see, you cannot control your emotions, but you can control your thoughts.
Yes.
And how you think you become. Your emotions will follow. One more. Okay. When you forgive them, it's not because they deserve it. Guy's an idiot. He's an idiot. He deserves to get kicked in the butt, okay? For some, okay? All right, or her, whatever. But forgiveness is for you. It's an opportunity, and it makes way for healing. Kindness towards others. Listen carefully. Even if they don't deserve it, you may have a seat. You may be seated. The best example of this is simply what? The cross. Because while we were yet sinners,
Christ died for us.
Where is that in the scripture? Don't put it up. Where is that in the scripture? For while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his love. And he's talking about going to the cross. Where is that? Anybody know? Who said that? Yes. 5'8". I nod because I use it when I go sharing Christ in the streets or wherever I go. He died for you while you were a jerk.
Yeah.
And he looked at you and he repeats the words that he gave to Jeremiah the prophet. And in I telling you, man, in chapter 30, verse 3, he says, I have loved you. Oh, from the very beginning with an everlasting love. Oh, how I love you. You never even thought about him. You're too busy living your life. You're probably happy just being religious. And all of a sudden, one day, he touched you, you became born again, you became a child of God, and now you understand that in the same way that he loved you, when you didn't even give him the time of day, he loved you through it, where you're now today stand forever ready to enter eternity in the kingdom of God. But it started with him looking at you and he's saying, I will demonstrate my love for you. I will allow them to beat me. The Bible tells us in Isaiah that he didn't even look human. The people were appalled at his visage. Couldn't even tell he was human. You know how, you know, he knew that because he was familiar with crucifixion. It was a common way of execution in the first century by the Romans. He knew what that looked like. And he looked at you at the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, I'm not sure I want to go through this. He told the Father that. I'm not sure. You sure? Hey, let's do this in the 21st century where all they do is they inject you. I'm okay with that. He knew what was going to happen to him. They beat him to an ugly pulp, and he was naked. He didn't have that little cloth, you know. That's just modesty. He endured the shame. And we're too cool, too busy to give him the time of day and to consider him in your life. You better think twice. Because the day's going to come, I promise you, I give you a promise. You're going to remember the words that I just gave you. That he allowed himself to be beaten so ugly, people couldn't even look at him. And he was still alive. Yeah. And he did it for you. He did it for you. I know you're tall, but you're never so tall that you can't, you know, you're so cool. You cannot consider Christ. I like to pick on tall people. He loves you. That scripture that I shared with my sister. My sister that I spoke to about Jeremiah 30 verse 3. What's your name?
Mary Kay.
No, my sister that I spoke to over there.
Mary
Kay. ¿Cómo se llama?
Mary Kay.
Mary Kay? I can't see with my glasses, without my glasses. Raise your hand if I'm talking to the right person. No, over here. Over here. I'm sorry. What's your name? Yeah.
Terry.
Huh?
Terry.
Terry? Hey, Terry. Anyway, the scripture that I quoted, I don't know if you remember it. I mean, it's only 3 minutes ago. It's Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 3. It's the same scripture that applies to you over here. And if he loved you with an everlasting love, why would you have and give yourself an experience and a reason to have an issue with the person across the street or across the aisle or whatever? Because you have taken for granted what he did and what he allowed himself to go through just so that you can get saved one day. That's why we come to church and we can't stand each other from one end to the other. Sorry. That was holy spit. I know. Oh, I didn't spit on you. All right, I'm going to behave. I'll stay behind the lectern here. I was embarrassed. Anyway. Sorry. He wants us. You see this right here? And as people start coming, don't start going over there. Stay close.
Amen.
Just be sure to take a shower before you come. That's fair. That's fair. It says right here, it'll be fair. All right? The cross is the best example of exemplifying what it is to be merciful to one another and forgiving. Yeshua died for us so that we may have life. And Yeshua himself said that you might have it abundantly. Mucho más. Órale, bato. And he did that while we were still jerks. So here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm not going to spit on you. I'm coming over here.
Baptism.
Give to others what he gave to you.
Amen.
And that's called mercy. Don't have issues with one another. Husbands and wives, consider this word of the Lord. I know for a fact that I'm speaking to you from the throne room. Otherwise, I wouldn't not be telling you. Otherwise, I'd just be entertaining you. And I'm going to have to answer that. I heard when they were talking about an honorarium, that would make me a hireling if I would not be speaking to you the heart of the Father today. Right? Love one another. No te separes, you know. No. You know, I'm going to sit over here. Unless it's a guy that likes the way you look, then he's going to come and sit with you all right. We do that. Men, we're horrible when it comes to that, okay? But at least he's close. Sit with one another. Love one another.
Amen.
Lord gave him an amazing word yesterday. It was totally the Lord, 100%. The other thing, watch out. Oh, you know what? I love the scripture. I'm going to give you my life scripture. You're going to hear it anyway. Watch this. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 is my life scripture. It's one of the first things the Lord taught me. Because, man, I was doing street witnessing every Friday, man. We'd go on the streets of San Diego. We'd talk to the prostitutes, to the pimps and everything. Man, we get threatened, beat up, guns in our heads. But, man, every Friday we'd be out there and we'd be sharing the love of Jesus. And then on Saturday, we go to Tijuana. We started building a church. Man, I was so busy for God. I loved me. I was very impressed with me. And the Lord spoke to me one early morning. I saw Friday night, there's this guy sitting up against the wall on the floor, todo borracho, man, you know, like vomit on him, you know, and he's all drunk, you know. And my brother, who is my mentor at the time, and he's the one that brought us to the glory and night to the Lord, he would take me out street witnessing downtown San Diego, and he's kneeling down in front of this guy, and he's got vomit all over him, and he would look at him, you know. And my brother would hug him and put his head against his. And I'm thinking, he's not going to remember a word you say to him tomorrow. Come on. We got better fish to fry. I did that often. I said, why do you do that? Because then we would go to Denny's afterwards. So here we were, 11 o'clock at night, you know, with a group of us, and we start having dinner, and we all start counting how many we led to the Lord. I said, Jorge, why do you do that, man? Remember this. What's your name?
Julie.
Huh?
Julie.
Julie? Remember this. Julie. I heard her.
Sorry.
I'm not good at hearing. I told him that yesterday. Okay. Because I love him. What? He says, come here. We squirted out of, you know, this room. We squirted out and someone talked to you. And he's all he said to me. He goes, Cesar, I love you. You know that. Yeah, you better. He puts his arm on my shoulder. He says, I speak to him the way you saw me speaking because I love him. You don't even know him. I know. But my Lord does. And I love him with the love of the Lord. So that night, when I got home, I lay on my bed and I told the Lord, I want to learn to love like my brother Jorge. Well, I didn't know he was my brother at the time. I know him as my friend, but I want to learn to love like he loves. That's foreign to me. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? Perdón, hermana. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning?
Yes, sir.
I lay there and I said, Lord, I need to know how to love the way Jorge loves. I don't get it. El vato está todo loco, man, todo borracho, you know, todo menso. You know, why? You know, because I love him. No, I did it on purpose. I'm trying to entertain you. She tripped me. Because I love him.
Yeah.
Come on. I'm driving something. Holy Spirit, drive this into their hearts. Drive this into their minds. It's not all about you. Did you know it's not all about you? We think it's all about us sometimes, the way we act at home, but it's not. It's all about others, and it begins with your family. It's not all about you. Knock it off. Because if it was all about us, then Yeshua would have never gone to that cross because he knew what he was going to have to go through. I'm sorry, mijita. He's so cute. I love you, eh? I love your tata and your nana. Anyway. I love you. That's why when we come and we preach and we share or we do a men's retreat, advancement retreat, it's because there's something about in my inner being that I want to share with you that when you're done with the advancement, you take home and it starts with your wife, your husband. You want to be a Christian? That's what Christianity looks like. Authentic Christianity. It's not about you. It's about him and it's about people.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
The Word of God tells us, walk humbly before the Lord. Walk humbly is a description of the heart's attitude towards God. That was really good. That was really good. I'm going to say it again. Walk humbly is a description of the heart's attitude towards Yahweh. God's people depend on him rather than their own abilities. Come on, I hope that's true with everybody in this place. You don't believe me? I got to do is read Micha chapter 2, verse 5. I'm giving you a lot of scripture today. Actually, it's verse 3. I don't have it written, but it is verse 3. Instead of taking pride in what we bring to God, look what I can do. We humbly recognize that no amount of personal sacrifice can replace the heart committed to justice and love. And so what I'm asking the Lord is by the Spirit of God, is saying to you, cultivate love. Cultivate a close, reverent relationship with the master that we serve that will always be marked by trust and humility rather than pride. It may sound simple, but the simplicity, listen, doesn't mean that it does not equate with ease. It's difficult sometimes. Because it deals with having to intermingle with other human beings. This is why I asked you to sit close together. You sitting close together is a demonstration of what the body of Christ should look like. Not just in the church building, but when you're out there. It demonstrates, you know what this does? When you come close together, it sets a standard of what Christian community should look like in Yeshua. Why would we want to do anything different? Oh, because I don't know. Well, here we go. Because I.
Come on.
I'm asking you to die.
Yeah.
I'm asking you to die. Kill that flesh.
Amen.
Kill that sucker. These actions, listen, and they're not prerequisites for you to get saved, okay? But I'm telling you, it's the natural response. It's the natural outpouring of being saved. So I'm not speaking. If you're not born again, I ain't speaking to you, really, on that part. God doesn't expect anything from you, really, that way, if you're not saved. It's good that you're a nice person. Okay? I bless you. But it doesn't get you salvation. So living Mecha, chapter 6, verse 8, is not a prerequisite for salvation. Mecha, for chapter 6, verse 8, is the outpouring, the natural outpouring of that salvation. I don't have my glasses on. Is she looking at me or is she looking down?
Yeah.
I'm not getting on you for being on there. Tranquila, mija. Órale. I couldn't tell you were looking at me or not. Hear me out. I'm going to say something to you. You just got my attention. Not because, for no reason other than I spit on people. I chew people off for being on the. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. I'll behave. There is a Hebrew word. When the word of the Lord says to love one another as I have loved you. I remember the first time I heard that, and I was working at NASCO, National Steel. I worked at the shipyard. A bunch of crazy people, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, I was normal, and they were all crazy. Watch. My brother Jorge, my mentor, he says, you got to learn to love everyone. And I was thinking about the guys at NASCO. I couldn't stand those jerks. And he's telling me I got to love them? No, not today. There were some mean people in that shipyard. Bikers and everything. Vato locos, man. You know, Chicanos, you know, with the tattoos, orale. And they had no nothing, but hey, we're going to party this weekend. Hey, man, bring your chavita, man, and we're going to get down with some oldies but goodies and all that stuff, you know. Hey, I love oldies. That's my music, man. Anyway. Love that guy. And then I found out what the word love means. You're so cute. Anyway, the Hebrew word for love is ahava. Ahava. And it means committing. It has nothing to do with emotion. Oh, you know, I love you. It can. You can include emotion. It can include affection. But the Hebrew understanding of ahava is that you commit to give. You commit to give respect. You commit to give your time to your children. You commit to be respectful to those around you. You commit. That's what it means to love one another as I have loved you.
Amen.
You commit to give them what maybe they don't deserve, but you give it to them anyway because that's what Yeshua did for you. That's what a Christian should really look like. I know it's late, but that's okay. Just give me a few more minutes.
I'll keep going.
Oh, thank you. I know I loved you for a reason. Ahava means what?
Commit to give.
Commitment. Ahava means what? Commitment to what?
Give.
To give. I'm. You know what I found out this week, last week? I shrunk. I've always been 5'6". I know that's not tall, but I'm 5 feet and 4.5 inches now. I shrunk from being in my 30s. And so being short in high school, it's not very cool. Right, Henry? That's why I hung out with the tall people. Right? When I was even younger, I got picked on. I was skinny, my beard was like that, you know. I was called names. So when I grew up, even into high school age, I grew up with an attitude. I don't like you. Ooh, I see that wallet. In time, it would be mine. That's all I knew. That's what we did. Especially this guy. Yeah. Oh, God. No, he, Rosie, tell them. Oh, you didn't know about it? Boy, have I got stories to tell. Anyway. And so when I said, as I begin to get, and so when Jorge would tell me, I love that guy. I didn't get it. I don't know, you know, I know he was there for the weekend. What's your name, man?
Nick.
Orale. I don't know how well you know Nick, but if you don't, maybe you should know each other better than you ever did before. I mean, after all, we did spend the weekend together. Okay, I'm making a point here.
Yes.
I had to learn to love.
Amen.
It wasn't easy, but I wanted to please my Lord. I wanted to please my Lord. That became the most important thing in my entire life, is one day when I realized what he did for me. I wanted, what can you possibly give God? What does he need that he needs from you? Nada.
That's right.
But every time you read the Bible, you please him. Every single time you're kind to somebody, you please him. Every single time that you're good to one another and you're respectful, you please him. You give him a gift. And that gift is a... I forgot what I was saying. It's your fault. Anyway, every time you do something like that, Watch out. You give him a gift. Every time you follow and you work, live on the word, you give him something. So you want to give him a gift who gave you everything? Be nice, be gentle, be merciful, and walk humbly. And you will have given him a gift when otherwise you can't. There's nothing you can give him. Amen. You ain't got nothing he needs. Orale, Nick, what do you think? That was good, huh? Orale. I did that on purpose. He really needed it. Anyway. The Hebrew word for mercy is used in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. I know you guys call it Micah. Well, that's okay. You can call it anything you want. But as long as you go to the right place in your scripture. It's not only Hava, Ahava, but in this case, in the Old Covenant, it's Chesed. Remember, like you're going to clear your throat. Chesed, C-H-E-S-E-D. Chesed. It encapsulates the very essence of loving kindness. For God, Chesed, which is the same thing he committed himself to give, for God gave. Chesed. For God so chesed, he so loved you that he gave.
Yes.
We do the same. Ay, Chihuahua, como me debe esto. Anyway, is this okay? It's the essence of loving kindness, loyal. Somebody said loyal.
Loyal.
Love to one another. Come on. And then also covenantal, listen, faithfulness, married couples. Right. Kindness transcends mere niceness. Be nice. Be nice. I go to Walmart. Oh, I hate going to Walmart. I didn't say that. That's not recorded. But I do. When I go to Walmart, or I was going to say Home Depot, and I take Eliana with me, for instance, my precious granddaughter. She's 13. And when we go, and we're coming out, and we always find somebody loading up lumber in the back of their truck. And maybe I didn't see it. I'm too busy minding my own business and not even being mindful of the Holy Spirit. Mm. My granddaughter said, Papa, what, me, huh? Where are you going? We're going to the car, man. We got to go home. We're going to get this faucet back in, you know, we got to fix this faucet. Whatever. But you see that gentleman, that guy over there? He's old. Shh, don't say that too loud. He needs help. Let's help him put the lumber in the back of his truck.
You did ask me.
Are you sure? Jesus is Lord. Somebody hear that?
Yes.
Well, come on and hear him in.
Amen.
Oh, no, okay. And she says, and you know what, Papa? He needs help. I go, Mija, I'm running late. Your parents are coming. They're going to come and pick your kids up. Papa, you're always telling us we have to be kind. Amen. My famous last words were, whatever. Right? So we go over there, take the time to love. No. He didn't have four pieces of lumber. He had about 20 of them on the cart that needed to go on the truck. So there we were. That just happened recently. She almost came with me today. And be kind. Be nice. Go out of your way. I'm not going to ask you how old you are. I'm not going to ask you. And I'm not going to ask you how old you are. I'm really not going to ask you. But anyway. But you're never too old. I mentioned this Friday night. You're never too old to pray for people. You're never too old to intercede. You're never too old to offer somebody a prayer for healing and encouragement. Well, you know, I'm in my 80s. Good. Then your prayer should be more powerful than the guy that's 30. Because you're a pillar in the body of Christ. And your prayers mean something to God. And when you pray with faith, it will touch that person. You're just being nice. And if you're young, how old are you, mijo? 10. If only, no. My granddaughter's 13. She's 3 years older than you are. And she taught me a lesson. I'm going to tell you a true story. My granddaughter, who's now 13, her name is Eliana, and she used to come here. At one time when she was, and this is true story, she was 10 years old, and I had always been talking to one of my coworkers. He was a football star when he was in high school. He even walks like an athlete, you know. He's got that, they all got that look, you know, the muscly legs and all. And then he walk on this tip, you know, whatever. And so I had a burden for it, and I started telling him about Jesus, right? And I told my grandkids. And so my grandkids during the summer, they used to come to the theater. I still work at Cinemark because I get bored at home. I always got to be doing something. So I'm working at Cinemark, okay? I'm the guy that fixes the electrical whatever and the machines, the popcorn. You like popcorn? We make the best popcorn, man, and I'm the one that keeps those machines running, okay? So I'm trying to tell this guy about Yeshua. He was too interested in partying because he's good-looking. Girls are after him. Girls look at him, and they go. And, of course, he knows it. And one day I told him about Yeshua, and I never bothered him again. True story. And so I introduced my granddaughter to him. And one day we were going upstairs where all the projectors are at, and you know, the offices and so on. So he, we were going down actually, and he was coming up. And she said, "Oh, you're Kelvin?" He almost came, but he'd rather go hunting deer. Anyway, what's up with that? So, and he goes, "Yeah." He says, "My papa's been telling you about Jesus. She's only 10 at the time." He goes, "Well, you know, yeah. He will be the best friend you will always have. Please give him a chance in your life." 10 years old, and she's telling this 22-year-old kid, this 20-year-old whatever, "Give him a chance in your life." True story. I had the privilege to baptize him a month ago. He's born again. I mean, he still walks like he's an athlete, you know. But that's okay, because God loves athlete people, right? But his heart is changing. Because I'm a 10-year-old that told him, "You need to get right with Jesus." If a 10-year-old can do it, you know what? A lot of this has to do with the way you train them, the way you raise them up. Yes. You raise them up in a godly home, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you by the way they live. I almost say that again. If you raise your children and your grandchildren right, the Holy Spirit will tell on you. Amen. When people see your children and your grandchildren. Amen. And it's never too late. I'm almost done. Well, I am done. A lot of this I didn't cover. But anyway, I'm going to ask you to hold hands, please. Everybody, I know the guys over there, the batos, "Oh, man, I'm not going to hold his hand." You know, be humble. Everybody hold each other's hand for a moment. I don't want not one person not holding hands. Please, this is from the Lord. This is from the Lord. I'm going to say it again. This is from the Lord. I'm going to say it again. This is what? From the Lord. So as you're holding hands, this is what the Lord is trying to get across to every single one of us this morning. As you're holding hands, and it's okay to look around. Look at the people you're holding hands with. Look at the people behind you. I want you to take notice this, that the fruit of the Spirit, which we read in Galatians chapter 5, watch out. This is really good. The fruit of the Spirit, as you're looking at each other, okay, and it's different variations that is demonstrated in joy, look at each other. You want to? Did you know that Yeshua is the personification of the fruit of the Spirit? And so must we. And so, as you're holding hands and you're looking at each other, in Yeshua, in the fruit of the Spirit, it begins with joy. Doesn't mean that I'm grieving right now. My brother died yesterday, and my heart is incredibly heavy. But I am moved by the joy of the Lord. Joy is spiritual strength when my flesh says, "Don't feel like it." Hold his hand. Boom. Joy. I am preaching to you out of the conviction of my heart with joy. You haven't seen any, "Oh, pobrecito César, me." You haven't seen that. I may feel that way right now. I love my brother. But the joy of the Lord is what?
Keep looking at each other. Keep holding hands.
The personification of Jesus in our lives is peace. Did you ever notice in the story of Jesus sleeping in the boat? The Gospel of Luke says he had a little pillow. Where he got the pillow one, I wonder. But he got a little pillow, and he had his head on the pillow. And it was an awake, water coming in, and he's sleeping. You know why he was able to sleep? Because there was shalom in him. Peace. There was no storms in his life. And he wants us to be just like him. So my brother died. I love my brother. My other brother called me. I was here in Sierra Vista at my son's house when he called me. He says, "We haven't told mom yet. We want you to come." I got in the car, man. I took off immediately. I drove to Sierra Vista. My stepdad, my mom's husband, and my other brother Frank, they were in the driveway, and they didn't know how to go inside and tell my mom. My mom's 94. I said, "Let's go. We're going to talk to her." But I told Charles, I said, he's Italian, right? I want to talk to her in Spanish, because in English, I'm not very, you know, muy suave in English. I'm an idiot. But in Spanish, I can be more flowery. I'm a romantic. I talk to my wife. I talk to her in Spanish. Orale. Orale, baby. ¿Qué pasó? No, I'm just kidding. So I told my mom. Long story, I will stop because it's anyway. And so there's patience. Look at each other. You're patient with each other. You're patient with your spouses. Those of you that are here with your spouse. When somebody cuts in front of you, because you've been waiting for almost an hour in line. And when somebody, I know, huh? The devil comes out, you know. Invite him to do so. It gives you more chance to talk to the master. When I'm at the DMV, you know what that's like. I'm always talking to him. Orale. What about that guy over there? Lord, you want to talk to that guy over there? Ooh, that one looks mean. I don't want to talk to him. I promise you, I'm giving you the true scenario here of how I spend my time when somebody cuts me off, whether it's in the freeway. I used to flip them the bird. Oh, I was so good at that. So when I got saved, my brother said to me, Jorge said to me, "You can't do that no more." I go, "But I want to." He says, "But you can't. It's a bad witness." So you know what I did? True story. I went and got me a little round stick. And then one of those little stuffed birds that you can squeeze their claws on the stick. So because I can flip them the finger, I would get the little bird and I go like this to them. That was the Christian way of flipping the bird. Jorge says to me, "What are you doing?" Holy Spirit finally convict me. So don't get any ideas, young guys. Patience. Amazon. Kindness. Yeah. Kindness. Long be kind with one another. Be kind. So they rub you the wrong way. Why? You think you're perfect? You don't rub anybody else the wrong way? Oh, you're so perfect. Ugh. Goodness. Faithfulness. Be faithful. Be loyal to your pastors, to the leadership, to the people who work hard to prepare so when you come, all of this is working, including this. Thank you, by the way. Thank you very much. Let's give him a hand. Come on. The glory goes to God, but your efforts will not go unnoticed. In the context of our relationship with Yeshua, and I really am done, really. Okay, self-control is the supernatural ability to submit our wills to his leading in our lives. A spirit-controlled person always is full of control of what he thinks or she thinks. They're in control of their mind, their body, and their words. You can release each other now. You can release each other. Oh, you already did, huh? That guy over there goes, "Ah." Anyway. Let the fruit of God flourish where you're at in the Lord. God will meet you in your level of faith. You don't have to try very hard to build faith. You don't do that. Because it always takes an act of grace. And only God can give you that grace. And grace is his enablement in your life to flourish in patience. Worship, can I have the worship team come up, please? Yesterday afternoon, I gave the men a list of things that I asked them to consider. And I asked them to break up. I'm not going to do that today, but I asked them to break up in groups of four or five. And then the worship team that we had there, amazing! Oh!
Yeah.
Oh! While they were playing, here's what I asked them to do. You see, some of us, sometimes we feel stuck. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to do better, but I feel like I'm stuck and I don't know how to get out of this rut in my heart, in my mind. I want you to consider these questions. And I don't know that I gave them to you guys. I think it was slide 5. Do you respond with gentleness or do you respond with anger? Is my heart a wellspring of peace and joy? Or is my heart a source of anxiety? Am I patient? Am I patient with my grandkids? Papa, 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 calmate. But I got a granddaughter just like that, Eliana. Elsa. She invents games to play games with papa. Just like, oh, look at Gloria. Really? What, mijita? Because I love her. Are we late? We're not yet? Yeah. Okay. All right. Am I patient or do I run quickly to frustration? We really should ask ourselves these questions. Do I show kindness? Or do I act in self-interest? Because it's all about me. Anyway. Am I trustworthy? Can the people at work, your bosses and your managers and others, can they trust you that you are going to get the job done and you're going to make them look good? When you do your job, you make them look good. You treat people right. You're kind. You can be trusted. You're going to do your job, and you're going to do the best. Why? Because my scripture, somewhere in the Bible, I wish I knew the Bible, somewhere in there it says, whatever you do, do it to the honor and the glory of God. So the boss is not watching. You're going to get the best out of me yet. You know, I want to be like a stone, a smooth stone. Yes. Terry Tyler, an incredible. Let me say that again. Capital letters. Incredible lesson. Yeah. You said some things that I never heard. I've been a Christian for 46 years. You said some things that I've never heard. And I remember when you said what you said. I got tons of notes. I remember saying, God, I want that. I want to be like that stone that David found in the brook. It was smooth. Because most stones, when they get started, they're rough. It's got jaggedy edges. And then something happens when they fall in the brook or they're out in the mountain. And after decades and decades and decades and decades and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of wind and rain, it begins to get smoother. All the rough edges begin to fade away. Well, here's what it is. It's called friction. The friction of the water flowing through this rock in decades and hundreds, maybe thousands of years. All I know is that that stone became smooth. And when David found it in the brook, he said, that's what I'm looking for. That why? Because when they're smooth, it's got smooth sailing. When it leaves, how you say it in English, pero it's sling. There's nothing to keep that rock, to hold it back when it's going in the air. And you see, God, I want to be that way. I want to be authentic. I don't want those rough edges that God cannot use. He'll look at me and says, you need more refining. Thanks a lot, God. That's going to hurt. Yep. I'm going to put you in the refiner's fire. And I'm going to remove that dross until you, I can see my face, my reflection on you. Please stand. We're done. And so the question is, does your joy characterize my life? Or do I succumb to discouragement, that I'm always discouraged? See, people always, listen, there's nothing wrong with this, but Pastor Henry, he's going to work on this, because what I want to say is going to feel like a guilty trip. Or am I a person that I'm always having to be encouraged? Because there's so much discouragement in my life. Or are you a person, because you're so full of the Holy Spirit, that people seek you out to encourage them?
Amen.
I mean, after all, you are a Christian. After all, you are the likeness of Christ. Shouldn't people be looking for you to be encouraged? But sometimes we beat ourselves up and we say, woe is me, I'm a victim. The devil beating me up. If you really believe that way, then it serves you right for thinking that way. Because according to my Bible, according to the scriptures that the Lord has given me, He has taught me that I am not a victim to nothing and no one. I am a victorious bride of Christ. Greater is He that is inside of me. I don't have to listen to the stories that tells me that you're short and you will amount to nothing. The same people that told me that in Naco, Arizona and Naco, Sonora, right now, they're still in the same place, doing the same thing, and I've traveled the world. I've preached the gospel to 29 countries. I'm a co-pilot, on a military jet. I've traveled, I've flown my greatest dreams. And they told me that I would amount to nothing because I'm too short. You're a child of God, man. You're going to succeed. That's what I wanted to tell you. Remember I told you I want to talk to you for a little bit? And you took off on me. That's okay. No, I have no hard feelings. You're going to succeed. The Lord has working behind the scenes. You're amazing. I want you to come up in a minute when I have an altar call. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for life. Come on, somebody. We thank you for life, Lord God. Father, I pray that the qualities that we talked about today that should not be in our lives, we make some serious choices to get rid of them and to ask you for grace to get rid of them, to ask you the ability to acknowledge them and get rid of them. Making choices may be hard, but I will get rid of them. And the qualities the Bible says I should have, give me the grace to walk in them. I make choices to take a step, one foot in front of the other, one step at a time, and I will become the righteousness of Christ. And you say, you know, Hermano Choa, I feel stuck. I'm trying. I want to. And you know, allow me to pray grace over you. And if the Lord gives me a word, I give you a word. If it's not, I pray for grace over you. If you need healing, allow me to pray. I will lay my hand on you, and I may not. But the prayer of faith will lift up the sick. The prayer of faith will heal the sinner. The prayer of faith will restore, and I'll offer you that today. He says, I want some of that. I want to be able to do that. I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I want to be able to fulfill Micah chapter 6, verse 8. I want to learn to be humble. If that's you, to start coming up. And I'm going to ask some of the prayer people, team, come and pray for you. And so if you can, I invite you to come up. Come on up if you want. If you want, if you need prayer.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.